This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At night, two of the latest Democratic debates held in Detroit.
He went right around the question. Mr. Vice President, you want to be President of the United States. You need to be able to answer the tough questions. I guarantee you, if you're debating Donald Trump, he's not going to let you off the hook.
That's New York Mayor Bill de Blasio talking to former VP Joe Biden as Biden was repeatedly targeted by many of the others on the stage. Here, he responds to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand after she challenged his record on women's rights.
I came up with the It's On Us proposal to see to it that women were treated more decently on college campuses. You came to Syracuse University with me and said it was wonderful. I'm passionate about the concern making sure women are treated equally. I don't know what's happened except that you're now running for president.
So I understand, Mr. Vice President.
The on-again, off-again Woodstock 50 Music Festival has now officially been canceled. And this is USA Radio News.
Today, Vance Auto Park at your local Intelligas truck. Find Shell Rotel Oil to be your truck and S. Just for Intelligas trucks is Shell Rotel. This cupcake's oil corner store for on cruising to the top down. This is not oil. The country, halfway across tailgate party, world's greatest. This is hauling the oil. Snow and mud, mountains in the rain. This is climbing mountain oil. Way off the grid, and camping. This is hunting fish oil. This is truck. This Intelligas truck is Shell Rotel. This.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
A tiny Kentucky town about 2 hours southeast of Louisville rocked early today by a natural gas pipeline explosion. Here's the governor, Matt Bevin.
We had one person killed, five people injured. The fire's out. It's under control.
A video of Democratic Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland describing Baltimore as drug-infested has resurfaced. President Trump retweeting a video of Cummings from a House hearing on the narcotics threat from Colombia back in August of 1999, showing Cummings saying that kids were, quote, walking around like zombies due to the impact of illegal drugs in Baltimore. Trump tweets the video after he was accused of making a racist attack on Baltimore for calling it a disgusting rodent-infested mess. First-time claims for jobless benefits up last week, according to the Labor Department, a little bit more than analysts predicted. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Equifax may not be able to send everyone a settlement check. As earlier indicated, the Federal Trade Commission now warning that the money for that could run out. The payment option of $125 was capped at $31 million for the 2017 security breach, and consumers who have not yet submitted a claim are now being urged to instead consider the free credit monitoring option. Meanwhile, another credit card company is facing millions of dollars in lawsuits over the latest data breach. Here's USA Radio's Wendy King.
A class action lawsuit has been filed against Capital One over that massive data breach that exposed the personal information of more than 100 million customers. Attorney John Ingunis.
We filed that lawsuit to hold Capital One accountable. The suit was filed as a putative class action in the Eastern District of Virginia, where Capital One is based.
There are reports that the Capital One breach could be only the tip of the iceberg, as other major companies could have also been breached by the same hacker.
And several suspensions are expected after the Tuesday night baseball brawl between the Pirates and the Reds. The fight, which included the Reds manager running onto the field to go after the Pirates skipper Clint Hurdle, made headlines for its brutality, starting after pitcher Amir Garrett charged the Pirates dugout. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us. And we've got Timothy Gordon joining us now. His book, Catholic Republic, Why America Will Perish Without Rome. Tim, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks a million for having me on. And I'm doing a remote broadcast here from vacation in Southern Florida, so it's great to be on the other coast.
Well, I'm not too far from you because we're on the east side of Florida. Hopefully you are as well because we're on hurricane watch here right now, right? On the west.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. So we can get a weather update later, but yeah, I'm toward the east. I'm in Orlando.
Oh, okay. All right, you're in the middle, so you're okay. So yeah. you're covered. Yeah. And what normally are you based in California?
Yes, sir. Yeah, Central California.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. See, you leave California to get away from the earthquakes. We had a couple of them over there. My brother is based in Southern California, so he's been shaken up a little bit. And I said, well, don't worry. I mean, you know, here, whether it's east or west, we've always got some excitement here, right?
Exactly. I hadn't realized that. Yeah, I left a day after the big quake right in Central California near my home in the desert. I'm a desert rat.
Oh, okay, all right.
Good fun.
Well, enjoy Orlando. Well, let's talk about the Catholic Republic, Why America Will Perish Without Rome. Why did you have to write this book, Tim?
It's a culmination of intellectual ideas that occurred to me and the biographical notes in my personal life, my course of studies, which made them apparent.
Mm-hmm.
So I went directly. I had the unique fortune of going directly from very, you know, in-depth Thomistic graduate studies, mm-hmm. Father Kevin Flannery at the Greg in Rome, mm-hmm. Aristo-Thomist studies to very deep constitutional studies at the University of San Diego School of Law.
Mm-hmm.
So the chapters of this book, long and the short of it is, came to me as a kind of series of intellectual revelations, nothing mm-hmm. supernatural. And the upshot is that, because people like upshots, is that really America's founding and framing, Declaration and Constitution, and even to some extent its culture, are crypto-Catholic. Now, people that want to mock and point the finger will say, oh, you don't think it was a bunch of Protestants who were influenced by the Enlightenment who founded America? No, obviously it was. Mm-hmm. I didn't say it was Catholic founding and framing. I said it's crypto-Catholic because this is at the top of the pedigree, the top of the intellectual food chain of those Protestants and Enlightenment thinkers founding America. was nothing other than the Neo-Thomas Jesuits. It's right. Quite evident, actually.
Well, you know, and the thing is, several things here. First of all, you know, a good reason for your book also is the fact that, let's face it, religion in America is under siege. History is being rewritten. You know, I've had different people come on and you know, talk about, no doubt, the religious influence of the founding. There's no question whatsoever that the footprint of divine providence is all over the founding documents, is it not?
Certainly, certainly. And, of course, I mean, not to be too pugnacious or anti-ecumenical, but to say, as we say, as a kind of a middling, a less controversial way of putting it, that the providence, the foot of providence is all over the founding documents, it would really be an empty set. It wouldn't make sense, and it wouldn't shake out at all the way it does, quite sensibly, quite intelligibly. Mm-hmm. It would make no sense if we really meant it in the true Protestant sense that people have taken the American founding to be. For it to be true that the hand of God is in it, it would have to be Catholic. That's sort of the end run.
Right.
And without getting into all the specifics of, you know, my chapter one on the Declaration, chapter two on the Constitution, last four chapters are on the culture. Without getting into all that, you can just take the end run and you can say, you know, it's great that our Protestant separated brethren have have Jesus, have Trinitarian baptism. But in terms of the intellectual tradition, which yields natural rights, natural law, subsidiarity, which we have in a really unique, ingenious form in American federalism, virtue ethics widespread in the original republic, that is, original republic no longer. You know, you really need Catholic intellectual tradition. It alone confers those things in a way that, two different worldviews, one secular worldview and one Christian worldview, Protestantism, both reject the ideas of liberty. Protestantism does, the Enlightenment also does from the other point of view. They reject the idea of virtue ethics. You know, Protestantism says total depravity. The Enlightenment says we're essentially meat machines. They reject the natural law writ large, the intelligibility of the universe. Protestantism says sola scriptura. The Enlightenment says naturalistic determinism. So this is all evident, sort of in the pudding, right?
Yes.
Proof there. That you need some other worldview to supply it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tim, I think sometimes people, what they omit from the context here is the Catholic Church has been around thousands of years. Protestantism, you know, is still a babe by comparison. And so the roots of all this, go right in, you know, from the Catholic Church into Protestantism, right? Because without the Catholic Church, you don't have the Protestants.
Certainly. It's almost that simple. I mean, when you look at I would divide here and say, okay, have a look at the political tradition known as Whiggism, which is a pretty distinct mashup of Protestant thought with Enlightenment thought. Whiggism is the thought of guys like Algernon Sidney and better known John Locke. That's what I'd call political theory. And it's all really, it's natural law stuff when you look at the bottom line. When you look at the top line, something like John Locke's deeper philosophy is epistemology and metaphysics. He's denying the natural law. He's actually obliterating it when you look at Locke's very typical Protestant Enlightenment epistemology and metaphysics. So he's just essentially lifting the easier form of philosophy, political philosophy. He knows what's good is natural law, political philosophy. He lifts those, even though it's in direct contravenience of his deeper, more invisible, you know, metaphysics. So that's the political tradition. When you look at the legal tradition of people like the English Whigs, what's baked in, this makes your point, I think, even a little more starkly than the political tradition, is the tradition of law that guys like Blackstone were looking at.
Right.
The term the English common law, which Bernard Bailyn says antedates even Magna Carta, you know, and that's pretty far back,
right.
is you know, the English Constitution was not a written document like ours. It was an oral tradition, and it goes back, according to someone like Balin, even as far as 800 or 900 A.D. Either way, you know, Magna Carta, 800 or 900 A.D. All of this antedates the English Reformation by about 500 years at least. And what was the political tradition and the legal tradition that was baked into that? It was Catholicism.
Exactly. Well, Tim, we got to go to break. We've got more from Tim Gordon after this. Stay with us. He studied philosophy in pontifical graduate universities in Europe, taught at Southern California Community College, and then went on to law school. We've got more from Tim after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get their free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timesharecancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Fresh and independent, just the way you like it. to hear from us. Bill Martinez here. We're talking with the author of the book, Catholic Republic, Why America Will Perish Without Rome. Timothy Gordon is with us. Interesting, even the subtitle, Tim, Why America Will Perish Without Rome. This is going to turn some heads a little bit.
It's meant to. Writing the book, I almost felt like it was ribald provocateurism. It is not. Like I said before the break, it was just the chapters of the book were a series of independent either grad school or law school revelations from papers in either grad school, first grad school, then law school. But, yeah, I did enjoy, I will confess, writing the book, and I do enjoy doing interviews like these or debates, you know, public debates with people that are so cocksure about the Protestant nature of the pedigree of America. Obviously, the citizenry Protestant, I can't say this enough, but the pedigree is, upon a second, third, fourth look, quite obviously crypto-Catholic.
Well, when you consider, here's the founding fathers. They come from an oppressive England that was a church state, and in Catholicism had roots there. So, you know, here you are starting something new, and and such is the stream and tensions of politics anyway. So, what are you going to do? Are you going to argue over whether it's Protestantism or Catholicism, or just some founding declarations and some principles here, and let's focus on the critical issues and not necessarily the source, right?
Sure. Are you characterizing? Are you doing your best to characterize what you think the common critique of the argument will be?
Well, no. What I'm trying to do here is articulate that, you know, going back during that period of time, there was so much to talk about, and it's not like everybody got in the room and started singing all 52 verses of Kumbaya. I mean, this was quite a political battle,
no doubt,
with the diverse members there that participated in the construction of the Declaration, from the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution and all the conversation going on. There was no doubt that there was some spiritual context. Now, if the origination was Catholic or if it was Protestant, I think in the overall goal of what you're trying to accomplish, you could set that aside for the sake of the cause of this great American experiment, is what I'm trying to say, if that makes sense.
Sure. I mean, the catchiest way of saying, more than sure, yes, I agree with the sensibility expressed there. I think the catchiest way to express it that I've found so far reasoning and talking about my book is to say, look, there are 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, right, which is the most stark expression of natural right, I think, ever popularized. Of those 56 signers, one man could have really meant the propositions on the, you know, the ink on the page in full force, and that man was Charles Carroll of Carrollton, the one Catholic signer, first cousin of John Carroll, first bishop of the United States, who was his progeny would be corresponded with by Pope Leo about a century later. Everyone likes natural rights, life, liberty, property, if need be, the right of rebellion, because it's the goodies, it's the benefits, what is conferred by the natural law. Of course, there are duties as well. Not as much fun to talk about. Everyone who likes limited government, which should be really all Catholics, we do like the concept of subsidiarity, because it's baked into human nature and the nature of human liberty. But subsidiarity just means the ref in position to make the call should make the call. Mm-hmm. You know, not the ref across the court, not a federal tyrant from Washington, D.C., or from London or wherever, or The Hague.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Welcome to the EU, right?
Right. Enjoy. So the idea is that All those Protestant Enlightenment guys, I call them all Protonlights. They are either a 90-10 mixture of Protestantism, Enlightenment thought, or a 10-90 mixture of the same, but they all had some of that modernism. The secular modernism or the Enlightenment stuff, the Christian modernism is just Protestantism.
Right.
And both of those reject the three prongs of the natural law, you can't say it often enough, while wanting to, with both arms, embrace in the fold all the goodies of the natural law, which are natural rights, subsidiarity, virtue ethics. Just think of it this way. Final kind of recapitulation of the idea. On the fifth centenary of the Protestant Reformation, on Reformation Day in 2017, the Wall Street Journal op-ed page, a good bastion of conservatism, called Martin Luther one of the greatest champions of human liberty ever. This is Martin Luther, same guy who argued to the death, and one of the only positions he didn't really flip-flop on, that the human will was in bondage, i.e. human liberty does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Is now, according to the right-wing American political tradition, Martin Luther gets lumped in with the champions of liberty. This is simple insanity. It's an incoherent thought. Martin Luther in Protestantism is a rejection of both virtue ethics, because of the liberty question, and liberty itself. And both virtue ethics and liberty are like the lifeblood of republics. Self-government simply is not possible without liberty and a very eminently possible virtue in the heart of the people.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, our founding fathers said it was designed for a moral and just people. You take that out of the mix and it implodes on itself. And if I'm understanding you correctly here, Tim, what you're saying, with this Enlightenment foundation going into this and abandoning, letting go some of these key principles of Catholicism, that is the reason for the social chaos that we have today in America, right?
Certainly. Remember, I read a great article on First Things, which I don't say so often anymore, by the way. I read one about 5 months ago. It was still winter. And it was on the idea that this widespread pagan pederasty that was all too common in the Roman Empire, pre-Christian Roman Empire, slowly dwindled with the meteoric rise of Christianity after Constantine's day, and now it is slightly faster than slowly returning. With the diminution of Christendom, irrespective of the health of the church itself,
right,
Christianity is receded from the public square, so which we call Christendom. So things like pederasty disappeared when Christianity was in full effect, strong and robust, and now it's coming back strong. Worse than child rape is child murder, even.
Yes.
That, too. You see it recede with the rise of Christianity. You see its return with the egress of Christianity. It's all rather linear, and anyone who's interested can look through the pages of history and see the self-evident nature of the claims that I'm making here.
And here you are. I think it's clear. I mean, look what's happening in these states. I mean, abortion has gone over the top. We've got now we're on the verge of in Virginia. They're talking about infanticide, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, this is crazy stuff here. But I got to Tim. I really appreciate I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, and I wish I had more time because there's so much more to get into. But all I can do is highly recommend that people check out your book, Catholic Republic: Why America Will Perish Without Rome. As we wrap things up, two things: where can they go for more information, and what do you think is the most important thing that you want them to take away from what you've written here?
Thanks a million for having me on. Firstly, you can get the book at sophiainstitute.com or Amazon, if that's your pleasure, or any good secular or Catholic bookseller near you.
Well, to be continued. Tim Gordon, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Tim, thank you so much for the time. Appreciate it. Are you making payments on high-interest credit cards and your mortgage, but feel like you aren't making a dent? If you're like most homeowners, you're getting a ton of calls to refi, but no one can help you save money, right? You're in luck. Our friends at Network Capital help their clients save on their debt payments an average of $528 a month. That's right.
Refi those debts and you could save an average of $528 a month. That's over $6,300 a year, which could also improve your FICO scores. Call 800-700-8068 now. Network Capital Funding Corporation is a direct lender and their process is fast, simple, and secure. We urge you to call our friends at Network Capital now. 800-700-8068. Can you imagine what you could do with an extra $528 a month? Give them a call right now. 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At night, two of the latest Democratic debates held in Detroit.
He went right around the question. Mr. Vice President, you want to be President of the United States. You need to be able to answer the tough questions. I guarantee you, if you're debating Donald Trump, he's not going to let you off the hook.
That's New York Mayor Bill de Blasio talking to former VP Joe Biden as Biden was repeatedly targeted by many of the others on the stage. Here, he responds to Senator Kirsten Gillibrand after she challenged his record on women's rights.
I came up with the It's On Us proposal to see to it that women were treated more decently on college campuses. You came to Syracuse University with me and said it was wonderful. I'm passionate about the concern making sure women are treated equally. I don't know what's happened except that you're now running for president.
So I understand. Mr. Vice President.
The on-again, off-again Woodstock 50 Music Festival has now officially been canceled. And this is USA Radio News.
Today, Vance Auto Park at your local Intelligas truck. Find Shell Road Oil. TV, your truck and S. Just for Intelligas trucks is Shell Road. This cupcakes oil corner store for I'm cruising to the top down. This is not oil. The country, halfway across tailgate party. World's greatest. This is hauling the oil. Snow and mud. Mountains in the rain. This is climbing mountain oil. Way off the grid. In camping. This is hunting fish oil. This is truck. This Intelligas truck. This is Shell Road. This.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Maybe it's okay.
Minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. I know everybody's head still spinning over all these things that we've been talking about regarding, you know, the debates here. We got, what, four debates that have taken place, and I'm not sure that America is better off after everything is all said and done. Maybe just more confused about what has been put out there instead of really getting some highlights. But, you know, at least I say, look, we've had a chance to hear what the Democrats have to offer, and they've been pretty clear about that. So, you know, I don't see a big surprise here on this. Okay, well, with us right now is Jack Carr. He's back with us. I mean, it's been, gosh, Jack, what has it been, a year since you and I talked before? Maybe a little bit longer than that.
A little bit longer. With your last book. Yep, the second one was delayed a little bit because the government had to take 7 months to do a 30-day review, which didn't come as a surprise to no one.
Right.
So we had to push the date from April to July for the release of the second one. But it is now out, and I'm on book tour.
Well, congratulations. Jack, of course, is a Navy SEAL and author. And, of course, what he brings to the conversation is all these years of experiences. And, you know, who would have thunk, Jack, as you were going through Bud's training and everything there at Coronado, that you'd be a best-selling author?
Well, I did. Because yes. I wanted to do this since I was a little kid. Two things I wanted to do were to serve my country in uniform, specifically as a SEAL, and then to get out and write fiction eventually. Because I grew up surrounded by books. My mom was a librarian, so we had this love of reading. And then in the 80s, I couldn't just Google Navy SEAL and have an unending supply of information at my fingertips. A lot of the information that I got on special operations came from the pages of fictional thrillers that I loved reading back then. So Tom Clancy and David Morrell and Nelson DeMille and A.C. Cornell and J.C. Pollock, all these guys in the 80s whose protagonists had special operations experience, typically at that time from Vietnam. So I knew that one day I was after the military, I would give it a shot. And the first novel was the result, and the second one just came out a couple days ago.
Yeah, well, that's congratulations on that, Jack. I mean, here you are, as you said, a kid growing up. You're reading these books, reading about all these guys, and now you are one. So, how was that reconciliation for you in terms of what you read, and then now here you are, you're a SEAL, and you're doing this.
Yeah, no, it's pretty crazy. But I set my sights on both being a SEAL and writing for so long that it almost seems normal. And I say that in the most humble way possible, because I do feel extremely fortunate that I am lucky that I got the first novel to on the desk of the right person at Simon & Schuster, Emily Bessler Books, who loved it, and we were off to the races. But at the same time, these are the only things I wanted to do, and they were both calling. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I woke up one day and said, you know what, I wonder if I could make some money writing. How does one do that? It was just very natural thing for me to do as a fan first of the genre and a lover of books and of reading and having a calling to join the military. So both those things never felt like jobs or careers. They were callings and profession. There's a reason it's called a profession of arms, not a career of arms. And the same thing with writing. It's a profession, which for some reason makes it seem different and doesn't make it seem like work at all.
Well, that's what we want for, you know, all our friends, our kids, everybody here. And this is what we love about this country is that, like no other country, do you have the opportunity to do what you love doing. And if you find yourself like yourself in both cases, whether it was as a Navy SEAL or now as an author, you never have to work a day in your life, as my dad would say.
That's it. And as I was on the beach in Coronado, California, and going through Bud's in 1997, you know, you're cold and tired and hungry, and the instructors are yelling at you, and people quitting in droves because it's about 80% attrition, give or take.
Right.
And I thought back to the people away from the inception of this country up to today that gave me the opportunity to be on that beach and to be in SEAL training, give us the opportunities to pursue our dreams. And I thought I got the guys that stormed the beaches at Normandy, the guys on Iwo Jima, they had it a lot worse than I was having it right there in SEAL training. So I put things in relative terms as I was going through and would think, you know what, running around this beach with a log on my shoulder with these guys, paddling out through the surf zone and getting yelled at, like that's really, it pales in comparison to what people have done in defense of this country from its inception to today. So
yeah, you know, for me, I gotta tell you, for me, going to a training as a Marine, I may have shared this with you. I was previously trained by nuns, so the drill instructors at MCRD in San Diego were nothing.
Yes, I love that story. Absolutely, I just went to Catholic school myself, and I feel an intense sense of guilt for everything I do every day because they really drew that into you back then at those impressionable ages.
But, yeah, exactly.
I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, if you have any desire to be a Navy SEAL, make sure you get raised by nuns, boy. They'll
fix
it. They'll precondition you.
Yeah, none of the instructors pulled a candle to her. Yeah, she was scary.
Without a doubt. So, you know, for you, as you were going through it, just only because we're talking about it, and I remember we're talking with Rob O'Neill, and in his class, I think they ended up with almost a couple of dozen, which is an incredible number of people actually graduating, because usually it's like less than 10 or something that go through and actually go on to, you know, make it through the entire SEAL training aspect, because the attrition rate, as you and I have discussed before, what was it? What was it that held it together for you that you were able to graduate?
Yeah, well, once
besides the nuns, knowing that they would have guilted you.
Right, exactly. Well, I went into this since I was 7 years old. I found out what SEALs were then, and before that, I knew I was going to the military even before age 7. And that's because I grew up with my grandfather. He was killed in World War II off Okinawa in 1945, but I grew up with the pictures of him and his squadron and the silk maps they gave he was a Marine aviator, but he flew with the naval aviators off the carriers. The silk maps they used to give the guys back then so they wouldn't disintegrate when they hit the water, like paper wood, metals, his wings, all that sort of thing. So I was just drawn to serve in the military from such an early age, from age 7, finding out about SEAL and setting my sights there. And then telling people that's what I was going to do with my life, I couldn't go home.
Right.
I quit. There was no way. I wanted to do it for so long. And it's interesting, you probably get the same look when you tell people you want to be a SEAL when you're younger than when you tell people you want to write. You want to be an author and you want to write thrillers. The same look of, that's nice, like, you'll grow out of it.
Right. It's just a phase Henry's gone through. Don't worry about it, yes.
Exactly. And, so the exact same look, so that kind of, you know, fired me up for both. To say, hey, I'm gonna go after these things with everything I have, and if I don't make it in either one, then I'll know that I gave absolutely everything. In SEAL training, that would mean they're gonna have to kill me first, because there's no way I could show my face back at home.
Exactly.
Quit after telling everybody I was gonna do age 7 on. So it was that, and then really thinking about those guys that have defended the country from its inception to today. They had it a lot tougher than I was having it. So those two things are really what drove me to not ring that bell.
Exactly. What about, you know, as you say, the other, you know, SEALs in training that are going through, you know, the would-be SEALs, and, you know, and they hit the wall. You know, what do you think as you see them going up to ring the bell?
You know, it's interesting, because I didn't know how I was going to feel until that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you typically see the strongest, fastest, loudest guys, and it's terrible too, class by class, they quit first in Hell Week. So I think now it's 3 weeks. Mine, it was the fourth week, but now it's the third, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys were the first ones to quit, and I was told that when I got there. But I didn't really believe it until I saw some of these guys that were just physical specimens. And when I got there, I thought, oh, my gosh, have I been nothing more than a computer? I know I've wanted to do this my whole life, but look at this guy.
Right, exactly.
And he can run, and he can swim, and he can climb these ropes so fast. Oh, my God. And then that guy, first one to quit.
First one to let it go. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
We're talking with Jack Carr. We're going to be getting into his new book called True Believer. It's a thriller right here on Bill Martinez Live.
Fly somewhere looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Are you making payments on high-interest credit cards and your mortgage, but feel like you aren't making a dent? If you're like most homeowners, you're getting a ton of calls to refi, but no one can help you save money, right? You're in luck. Our friends at Network Capital help their clients save on their debt payments an average of $528 a month. That's right. Refi those debts and you could save an average of $528 a month. That's over $6,300 a year, which could also improve your FICO scores. Call 800-700-8068 now. Network Capital Funding Corporation is a direct lender and their process is fast, simple, and secure. We urge you to call our friends at Network Capital now. 800-700-8068. Can you imagine what you could do with an extra $528 a month? Give them a call right now. 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
I've been saying, hey, I've been saying.
Hey, back with you. Eager to get into this story. This is incredible. He's just starting his book tour now. Jack Carr is with us, former Navy SEAL. His brand new book, True Believer. Boy, you've got a lot of tour dates. I mean, it's already been underway for the last couple of days this week. And what is it? Tonight in San Diego, California at Warwick's, are you?
That's
Am I
right,
saying this
that's right?
Right?
About to leave Dallas here and San Diego, back to the old stomping ground, and spend some time there. And then it's off to Portland and Colorado and Florida, and they packed it this time around.
So yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of people want to see you, Jack. I mean, this is awesome. And real quick here, before we get lost in the conversation and forget to remind people, if they want to know what city, because you've got. I mean, you're not going to be too far away from me next week. Next Monday, you'll be in Vero Beach. That's just north of me here on the East Coast. I may have to come by and at least say hey to you there at the Vero Beach Book Center. But you've got quite the tour that you're on. So if they want to be in touch with you, how can they do that, Jack?
Right. So the best way about for tour dates specifically is via website, and that's NicoleJackCarr.com. And tour dates are on there, the exact locations and times of all the bookstores and all that. Then there's a lot of, in the blog section, military insight section, there's a lot of information that really deep dives into the gun, the weapons, the gear that I used in the SEAL teams, and then the things that I continue to use today. So if people want to deep dive and go a little bit further than the novels take you as far as that gear, they can go to the website and check that stuff out there. And then on the social channels, I am Jack Carr USA. So it's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And Facebook just puts on a repost because I'm three platforms was too much for somebody who had never had a social media account until a year ago. It was a lot, but on Instagram and Twitter, that is me, and I interact with people, and I really like it because I can thank people who reach out and say they read the novel, they enjoyed it, they can't wait for the next one or whatever it may be, because really that's what made the first one such a success, is that word of mouth. And nowadays that word of mouth travels really exponentially via social media. So,
well,
appreciate people doing that.
On the hills of Terminal List, and I say on the hills as much as it could be on the hills. I mean, after all, you've got a little group called the State Department wants to check out and make sure that they've read the book more than once. You know, it's sad that after all the reading, they don't write at least a review.
I know. Seriously.
Just saying.
I should make that a stipulation. But really, it's the Department of Defense that did it, and then they send it off. They stop it out. If there's something that they aren't sure about, they'll send it off to the CIA or the NSA or the DIA or whoever, which kind of bogs down the process. And they advertise, they don't do it anymore, but they did advertise a 30-day review when I submitted both the first book and the second one. Mm-hmm. And that first one, they got back in 45 days,
which
for a gigantic bureaucracy I thought was not bad.
Mm-hmm.
15 days late, pretty good.
Yeah.
They took out 10 sentences, and I kept those redacted in the novel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent in the second one. And I did that because I wanted to honor my former security clearances.
Of course.
So this is fiction. My past life obviously informs the story, so I wanted to make sure I was doing the right thing. So
exactly.
I submitted that second one again and went to the Department of Defense Office of Pre-Publication and Review. And 1 month passed, then two, then three, then four, then five, then six. Mm-hmm. And we got up to that 7 month mark when they finally got back to us after some outside pressure was exerted, and they got back with 57 sentences redacted in about two full paragraphs. But
after all that, huh?
Month delay. Yeah, wow. I guess they're not big readers over there at the DOD, which should not come as a surprise to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But they eventually got back, and that made us have to push the release date from April to July. So just move things to the right a little bit, and that's okay because it's out now. But the uncertainty sure doesn't make the publisher very happy when they're trying to figure out what books are coming out when, and it's expected.
Well, yeah, you imagine. It's crazy.
It's a bit of a pain.
It's a tough way to run a popcorn stand. Well, see, like a friend of mine who's also a SEAL, he said to me, this is why he likes to just send them pictures, because they do better. It's the letters. And the big words. You know, the big words kind of freak them out here. You know, the whole deal.
Yeah. So, having to look those up in the dictionary slows it down a little bit.
Without a doubt. So, True Believer, give us a real quick plot line on this.
Sure. So, the first one was really a story of revenge without constraint. And when that second book picks up, it's a continuation of that story, but now the protagonist is on this journey, and he needs to learn to live again after the traumatic events of the first novel. He needs to find that next mission in life, find that next purpose. And the storyline was actually inspired by something that happened to me in Iraq in 2006, around the time of the Golden Mosque bombing, which really brought the Sunni-Shia rift to the forefront and threatened to rip the country even further apart than it already was. But I was working with what can best be described as a covert action unit in Baghdad, and we had an Iraqi officer working with us who was just head and shoulders above his peers, and he was a great tactical battlefield leader. And we had some interesting times in Baghdad in 2006,
mm-hmm.
and then years later, I got word through the grapevine that he had disappeared. And I thought, you know what? What if I make this more interesting? What if I have him in a fictional novel reappear in Europe, having been trained by both the CIA and Special Operations Forces, disgruntled with the fact that the U.S. left at the end of 2011, and now he's taking that training, that expertise, and using those skills against the Western world. And that's really where the action picks up and picks off in True Believer.
Well, you know, and that, just as a sidebar, only because you brought it up here, you know, having worked close with Iraqis like this, and that, as you say, this guy's head and shoulders, I mean, here it is with your expertise, and you're learning from somebody in a different, in a different venue. But you could recognize professionalism regardless of, where they came from, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I, typically in a lot of the countries that we worked in, having somebody that can make decisions when the plan veers off course and the bullets start flying is fairly rare. Because in a lot of these countries, they're not given the autonomy to make those decisions. They're not given the autonomy and the trust to maybe fail and learn from that failure and move forward. Typically, in a lot of these countries, if you fail, you're done.
Right.
And by done, sometimes that means killed. Type stuff. So that kind of breeds a risk-averse leadership style, I will say. And
right.
He did not have that, which really made him stand out. But you can recognize professionalism, obviously, no matter where you go and in what industry you are in. But typically, when I work with host nation forces, I like to think of myself as a student, and that I'm learning from people that have lived and grown up in these cultures, that know the streets, know the areas of people a lot better than I ever will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always try to take on the role, really, of student in a lot of these and learn as I was going, because I thought it made me a better battlefield leader for my guys.
Exactly. Well, Jack, I've got to imagine for you, you're appreciating, you know, the psychological component of these warriors who, you know, in a way, you go back to the founding of America when you have these farmers and, inequipped military guys are all of a sudden, they're farmers and they're thrown. Now they've got to defend a country and something they believe in. And if you really don't have that true belief in what it is you're fighting for, I mean, you're toast. And on the other hand, if you do, and if you are a true believer, you're able to put something on the line that even the most equipped combatant soldier, can be overwhelmed by. Does that make sense?
That is true, and we've seen it throughout history. I saw it in Vietnam, and we're seeing it again today. And the title of the novel I got from a quote that starts off the book, and that quote comes from an Army Special Forces instructor, an unidentified. I couldn't pin down exactly who it was, but at some point after 9/11, and he's imparting this knowledge and this quote to his Special Forces students, and it's kind of framing the enemy of who we're going up against. And part of that is the true believer, and he talks about. And typically in special operations, we're always looking for that edge. We're looking for that next best piece of gear, night vision, lasers, whatever else, something in body armor that's lighter that allows us to move, looking at that stuff. We're looking to optimize our workouts, our nutrition, and all these things to make us the best warriors we can possibly be so we can really bring it to the enemy when we get overseas. Now, the enemy, the true believer, is out there. He's on his home turf. He made his own web gear. Didn't get it from the top of the line tactical nylon distributor here in the United States. He doesn't have lasers. He doesn't have optics for the most part. The quote talks about how the only thing clean on this person is his web gear or his weapon and his web gear. He's not worried about what workout to do. His ruck just weighs what it weighs. His backpack weighs what it weighs. Doesn't matter. He only believes in the cause.
Yeah.
So he kind of framed our enemy and juxtaposes him to us. And is how we view what we're doing when we go over there for 6 to 7 months at a time, or in the Army stays a year plus, and then come home. Or when we're training and we're going out every day and doing our training, and then we're typically going home at night and tucking the kids in, maybe, or maybe we're training at night and we're getting back home in the morning in time to take them to school. But it's a little different than the true believer that's defending his home turf.
Well, this shadowy former Iraqi commando is out for justice and redemption in this thriller, True Believer, from Jack Carr. Jack, the takeaway for the reader, what do you want them to get from this book?
Well, it's opened their apertures a little bit on a few different things, but mainly is that everyone's on a journey, and whether it's the protagonist of this story or them personally, you're going to face adversity at some point in life. If you haven't yet, you will, and it's really how you deal with that adversity and how you take that experience and that knowledge, turn it into wisdom going forward that really matters and defines you. So that's really what does the novel of Violent Redemption in that case.
Well, he's given us another winter novel, boy, and it's a page-turner. You won't be able to put this one down. Jack Carr's new book, True Believer, on Bill Martinez Live. Jack, thank you so much. Hopefully we'll see you up in Vero Beach next week, okay?
This sounds great. I look forward to it. Thank you
so much. All right, take care, buddy. All right.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you afraid to go to the